I always like it when Jason leads singing because he leads us in songs that I haven't sung since I lived in Mississippi many years ago. And I'm like, I haven't sung that song in decades. So I always enjoy when you lead. My sermon tonight is the continuation of my series of sermons I've been doing now for 2 months that I call Sermons from Psalms. And I could not do a series of lessons from the book of Psalms without doing a sermon on Psalm 116. There's a reason I say that. If you were to take my Bible here and look at it, right above Psalm 116 in my Bible is written, "This is my psalm." And the reason and when I wrote this in here was when I had my triple bypass. And I don't know if any of you ever had any kind of surgery like that, but it's kind of a major surgery. And I sunk into, well, a depression. And so during that time, I was reading the Word of God, and I came upon Psalm 116. And when I read it, I mean, it just hit me square in the eyes. And then I read it again and again and again. And I read it so many times and meditated on it so long that I eventually called it my psalm. And so I would like to share with you tonight my psalm. Psalm 116, beginning here in verse 1 and 2. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he's inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. I want to share something with you and show it to you. This right here is my prayer book. And I'll tell you what this is. In my prayer book, I have a record of prayers that I have made on the left side and the answers to the prayers on the right side. And these are major prayers throughout my life, major events throughout my life. And on the left side is the prayer, and on the right side is the answer to the prayer. And at different times in my life, whenever I get discouraged and whenever I get low, I go to my prayer book and I read it and I look at it. And I want to tell you why I read it and why I look at it and why I even put it together, so that I will not forget that the hand of God is in my life, so that I would not forget that God hears my prayers and answers my prayers, and that his hand is in my life even to this day and this moment. As the text talks about here, you take your petitions and your prayers and you offer them up to the Lord your God, and he heard your voice, he heard your supplications, he inclined his ear to you, and you find yourself, whenever this happens to you, you love the Lord because you realize he really is there, he's in your life. And then when it comes to the subject of prayer, it says, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. If you don't have a prayer book, I recommend you start putting one together. I think you'll find it to be good for you, because it will bring to your remembrance prayers that you have prayed to God. Now, whenever I pray to God, there's something I want to let you understand about prayer. With God, all things are possible. And the Ephesians letter talks about how he's able to do abundantly above all we can think or ask. And so when it comes to the subject of prayer, I don't put limitations on God. And I don't mind telling you that there are times, even in recent times, when I prayed something, and then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, told that what I prayed for came to pass. I remember a few weeks ago praying for Brother Klein's son, and how he was having very difficult times with his health. He was having to go through dialysis treatments. And the reason that stood out in my mind is because that's what my daughter does. She works in dialysis clinics and helps them take care of the patients there. And so I remember praying that the Lord would be with him and help him overcome his problems with his need for dialysis. And one day I was just talking to Brother Klein, asking him how his son was. And to my surprise, he didn't need dialysis anymore. And whenever you told me that, I don't know if you listened to what I said, but I just stopped right there and said, thank you, Lord. When you make prayers to God, I recommend that when the answer comes, you pay attention. Be alert. Expect answers. There was a lady in Texas who went to MD Anderson. And if you don't know this, MD Anderson is the best cancer hospital in the world. And MD Anderson told her, there's nothing we can do for you. Can we have your permission to use you as an experiment? And she came to me and she said, Wayne, what do you think I should do? Should I let them use me as an experiment with the understanding it may kill me? And I said, no, we're going to do something different here. I would encourage you to just pray. And we prayed. And she had pancreatic cancer. And if anybody knows anything about pancreatic cancer, usually when you get this, it's over. She lived for many years after that. We used to jokingly call her a female Hezekiah. Because she would tell you very readily, the only reason she was alive was because of the power of prayer. And this is what I'm wanting you to learn from the lesson tonight at the very beginning. We are the children of God. We have this great honor and privilege to approach the throne of God Almighty. With all the things that are pressing down upon us, all of our worries, all of our trials, all of our sufferings, all of our fears, and take them to the throne of God. And He inclines His ear to us. He listens to us. He answers our prayers. And when it is happening, please be conscious and aware of the answered prayers in your life. Let's go back to the outline. It says, the pains of death surrounded me and the pains of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then in verse 4, then I called upon the Lord, the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. The beginning of this verse here, the pains of death surrounded me, the pains of Sheol laid hold of me. There have been times in my life when basically I was camped out on the border of the valley of the shadow of death. And my wife was looking at me like, don't talk about that. Yeah, she's breathing deep. She doesn't like to go there. Yeah, I've coded twice. And she's sitting there shaking her head. And one of them was after my bypass. And if you know what coding means, it means your heart stops. And basically, you're dying. And so, yes, I understand being close to death. That's why this psalm is so precious to me. It's because it was during that time in my life that she hates me talking about, because it's so difficult for us to even remember it, that this psalm was what I finally just came to and camped out here for weeks. Because he talks about this time when you're surrounded by death. It's all around you. And so what can you do? You call on the name of the Lord. You go to God in prayer. You implore the Lord to save your soul. Verse 5 through 8 says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death. When you take a petition to God, and it's a very big prayer, and the answer is yes, just thank the Lord. I hope this doesn't make her cry, but what was on my chest when I came out of surgery was a simple letter. And this was her birthday, by the way. And I had to put a bow on my chest. And the letter said, God said yes. If you've ever been in really bad situations and you've taken it to God and God says yes, this is what I draw from that. God hears her prayers. And He answers your prayers. The Creator of the universe is in your life. Enjoy it. Let your soul be at peace. Let your mind be at peace. Don't be afraid. Get past the fear. Get past the anxiety by knowing God Almighty is hearing your prayers and His hand is in your life. And he talks about how He delivers your eyes from tears. And if you've ever been struggling emotionally, you know you cry a lot. And I'm sure people got kind of tired of me crying. And I kept telling people, I'm not crying for me. I was crying for my family and my loved ones and my brethren because I didn't want to leave them. And if any of you have ever been in that situation, you realize I may not be here much longer. You realize, okay, I'm ready, I'm fine, I'm ready to go, but I don't want to go. I don't want to go, and it's not because I don't want to be with the Lord. It's because I want to be with my family. And I want to be with my brethren. And so he talks about delivering my soul from death, and not only that, but delivering my eyes from tears. And then he talks about delivering my feet from falling, and this is really where I want to go with this. Whenever I have prayers answered, I'm going to speak up to get over the rain. I'm not going to let the rain's not going to win. Whenever I have any prayer answered, I always get chills. Because whenever I have any prayer answered, what that tells me is He hears the really important prayers. And the really important prayer is this: forgive me of my sins. And when I pass from this life, have mercy on me and let me be with you. I like to stay here longer. I like to be with my family. I like to be with you. But when you really get into the big scheme of things, I understand I'm going to die someday. And I understand I'm going to stand before God in judgment. And I understand that I am a sinner who deserves to go to hell. And so anytime I see the hand of God in my life answering any of my prayers, I rejoice, because that tells me not only is He hearing my prayers for the healing of brethren's family and friends and myself and my brethren, He's hearing my prayers for forgiveness. And that's the ones that are really important, isn't it? The Lord will forgive us of our sins. The Lord will have mercy on us in judgment. But the Lord will allow us to be with Him in the end. And so now we go to Philippians chapter 1, verses 23 through 25. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is departing to be with Christ, which is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about the possibility that he may soon be put to death. To live as Christ, die as gain, as he says here in the Philippian letter. And then he just starts talking to them openly about where he is. My wife says, move it up. That means get louder. Okay, very usually she's doing this. That means move it down, talk softer. The Apostle Paul here is being honest and talking to the Philippians about where he is in his emotions. And he does want to depart and to be with the Lord, which is far better. And in the end, whenever I think about it, I understand that's the ultimate goal, to be with God, to be with Jesus, to be in heaven. It's going to be great. And yes, I'm looking forward to it. I long for it. However, I love my wife. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I'd like to see all of them and spend a little bit of time with them. And I love the kingdom. I love preaching. I love working with you. I love preaching the Word of God. And so even though I look forward to being with the Lord, I understand Paul talking about when he's saying to remain is more needful for you. The reason I was so down and so low at that time in my life is because I thought I wasn't going to live much longer. And I was not grieving for me. I was grieving for my wife and my children and my brethren. But the Lord said, yes. Last year, at this time, I had my fourth heart attack. Sorry. And yet, here I am. The Lord said yes. I got work to do. There's work to do in the kingdom. I'm telling you this because there are prayers that have been answered in your life. The hand of God has answered your prayers. And there are probably people here even this evening, and the only reason you are still alive is because of prayer. Realize that. Be conscious and aware that God is allowing you to stay alive, and if He's allowing you to stay alive, there's a reason. There's a reason you're alive and here even right now. And that's because you got more work to do in the kingdom. You got more influence, more abilities, more talents, more things to do. Now then, to me, this is such a major important phrase here in this psalm. Psalm 116, verse 12. After he talks about how he was on the verge of death, after he went to God and cast his cares before the Lord and prayed to God, and God heard him and God delivered him and God answered. In the conclusion, he says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" Have you ever thought about that? If you don't understand what the question is, the idea is, what can I give God? What can I do for God? Because of all that He's done in my life for me and all that He is doing and all that He's going to do, what can I render to the Lord? What do I have to give Him for what He has given to me? And that's the rest of the sermon is the answer to that question. The first thing you will find in Psalm 116 that we should render to the Lord is in verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Now, you may not understand the phrase and the concept of walking before the Lord in the land of the living. You see, we're in the land of the living. And the idea of walking before the Lord, I'm going to give you a couple of verses just to help you understand it. This is God speaking to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. There's that phrase, walk before me. You find again over here in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 4. This is David speaking to Solomon and telling Solomon what to do because of what God told him. If your sons take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul. Notice again the phrase, to walk before me. I wanted to show you two other verses using this phrase so you can understand what it means when we say, I will walk before the Lord. What it means is, I will follow His word. I will follow the word of God. I will follow the truth of God in my life. I will walk before the Lord. That's what I can render Him first of all, is to obey His word. Going over to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. For you were once darkness, but now you are a light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. To walk before the Lord, you find out what is acceptable to the Lord, and the way you're going to find out what is acceptable to the Lord is in the Word of God. And what you do whenever you're following the Word of God, you're walking in the light, the way it would be said in 1 John, you walk in the light as He's in the light. You walk as children of light by doing the will of God, walking before the Lord. That's the very first thing that we can render to God all the time that we're here in the land of the living, is to follow the Word of God by faith in our life. And the next thing he says is, I will take up the cup of salvation. In Psalms 116, verse 13, I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. All right, the cup of salvation. A cup is something you drink out of. In the text here, we're talking about salvation. One, I will make sure I'm right with God and that I am saved, and I thank the Lord for forgiving me of my sins and allowing me the hope of being with Him in heaven. But not only will I drink of this cup of salvation and take up the cup of salvation, I will hopefully share it with others in the world around me. Going to Psalm 51, verses 12 and 13, he says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." I told you earlier that the joy that comes to me whenever I have any prayer answered, and it's always the same whenever I'm conscious of a prayer being answered, I always get chills. Because I am then aware again of the fact that the hand of God is in my life. He's hearing my prayers. He's answering my prayers. And the really important prayer that needs to be answered is, "God, please forgive me again. Restore to me the joy of salvation. To where I'm not going to be lost. I'm not going to be separated from eternity from God. Restore to me the joy of your salvation by forgiving me." And then he says in verse 13, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." Let me tell you one of the reasons I'm preaching the gospel right now. I know the way to heaven. I know the way to be forgiven of your sins. I know the way to be reconciled to God. I know the way to eternal life. And I want to tell you about it. I want to share with you what I've learned. I want to share with you what I have found in the scriptures about Jesus and the way to God through the Christ. I want to share this with you. And so, yes, I'm going to drink of the cup of salvation and make sure I'm right with God. And then I'm going to say, "Let me share this with you. Let me share with you what God has done for us. Let me tell you about the way that you can be forgiven by God." That's what it means, I believe, to take up the cup of salvation. Is you're taking the truth of the way to be saved to others in the world around you. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 23, "Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day." I got some good news. That's what the word gospel means. It's good news. I got some good news about salvation. And taking up the cup of salvation is telling people about the way to be saved by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. By coming to our God and being reconciled to him by obeying the gospel of reconciliation. I know the way. I sure am glad to be on that way. Now then, let me share with you what I know about how you can be saved. That's what I can render to the Lord. I can share with others in the world around me about how to find their way to God. And going back to Psalm 116, verses 16 through 18, "O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds." Whenever I read this verse, what came to my mind is, yes, what it is that God expects of me. He expects me to be his servant. And that is, whatever he tells me to do, I do it. But he talks about how I am the son of your maidservant. I am very wonderfully blessed to be able to say my mother was a servant of God. My father was a servant of God. My grandmother was a servant of God. And I am a servant of God. I hope that your children and your grandchildren will be able to say the same about you. And my mother was your servant. My father was your servant. Even my grandmother. Remember Timothy and Lois and Eunice? And that's how he ended up being where he was, because of his mother and his grandmother. And so getting back to the main thought here, what can I render to the Lord? I can be his servant. And he goes on further in verse 18 by saying, "I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people." A vow, in the context here, is where you're saying to God, "God, if have you ever done this? God, if you will do this, I will do this If you ever ask God to do something and say, I will do this in return, you better do it. You better keep your vow. And the idea of a vow is something I'm telling God, I am going to do this for you in my relationship with you. Now let me ask you, have you ever taken a commitment with God? Have you ever come into a covenant relationship with God? You see how I'm continuing to ask the questions different ways? Now I ask it another way. Have you ever obeyed the gospel? You know, the second biggest commitment in my life was when I came into a covenant relationship with my wife and made vows to her, promises to her, telling her what I would do if she would become my wife. I will do these things all the way to the close of my life. That's the second biggest commitment. You know what the biggest commitment is in my life? The day I came into a covenant relationship with God by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to understand that it is a covenant relationship that you are entering into where you are making promises and vows of what you are going to do in your relationship with God if you will forgive me. If you will allow me to be with you in heaven. I will repent and I will give myself to you as a living sacrifice. It is the biggest commitment of your life. Come to understand it. Obeying the gospel is not just being baptized. Obeying the gospel is a commitment and a relationship with God of giving yourself over completely to Him for the rest of your life. And it is the biggest commitment of your life. Going to Proverbs first, Proverbs 20 and verse 25. It is a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy and afterward to reconsider his vows. And so the idea of saying, God, I will give this to you. And then later on, after the words have come out of your mouth, you're like, well, I don't know about this. I don't know if I want to give this to you. No, I'm not going to do it. So don't make a vow rashly. Whether you're getting married or whether you're obeying the gospel. In Psalm 37 and verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Committing your way to the Lord is everything in your life is committed over to Him. Everything in your life is meant to bring honor and glory to your God, your Creator. And so bringing this down into the New Testament, when you go to Romans chapter 12, it says here in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You remember how this part opened up? I will be His servant. A servant gives service. And we're talking here about the vow and the commitment that we're making to the Lord. This is the commitment. I will give you myself as a living sacrifice to serve you, to glorify you all of my life till I am dead. That is why obeying the gospel is the biggest commitment of your life. What can I render to the Lord because He's hearing my prayers, forgiving me of my sins, allowing me to be with Him in heaven? I can keep my end of this covenant relationship and give myself totally over to Him, to His honor and His glory, till I die. That's what you render to the Lord. All of you, for all of your life, you are His servant on this side, and then for all eternity you serve Him. That's what you commit. That's what you render to the Lord. And then finally he says here, going back to Psalm 116, verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. One of the things we can render to the Lord and we can give back to the Lord is we can pray to God and sing praises to God. glorifying God, thanking God in prayer, thanking God in song for the wonderful blessings that He's giving us in our life. What do you think we're going to be doing in heaven for all eternity? How about worshiping God, glorifying God? And I guarantee you, a major part of that is going to be glorifying God in song. So I recommend you learn how to sing better. Giving it the best you got. When I say better, I mean just sing, period. I'm not talking about learning how to sing in tune. If that's the case, I'm in trouble. You know, nowhere in the Bible does He say sing in tune. He just says with the spirit and the understanding. Give it all you got with what you got. And if you're able to sing in tune like a song leader, it's good. And if I'm driving you crazy, sorry. But I want to glorify God in song. I want to praise God. And what I'm trying to get across to you, if you don't like singing now, you probably won't like heaven because there's going to be a lot of singing. Swallow your humility. Swallow your pride and have humility. Thank you. Swallow your pride. Have the humility to sing praises to your God from your heart. Just let it go. Look at some Psalms on this. Psalm 13 and verse 6. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. Are you being blessed by God? Is He showering you with blessings? Yes, yes, and yes. And I've told you earlier, there's been some very serious physical prayers that I take to God about the healing of myself and others around me, and they're healed. And so we should thank God in our prayers, thank God in our songs, not just for physical healing and for all the physical blessings, but primarily for the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. The spiritual blessings of the forgiveness of your sins, the spiritual blessings of the hope of eternal life in heaven, the spiritual blessings of even prayer itself. Thank the Lord and praise the Lord in song for all the blessings He is showering upon you. And in Psalm 18:49, therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And one more, Psalm 104, verse 33. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. That's for a long time, isn't it? Sing praises to God. That's what you can render to the Lord. You know, there's something I deduce from this. God must like us praising Him in song, or He wouldn't request it. That's what we can render to the Lord. And so again, I'm serious when I say you don't have to sing beautifully, but give from the heart your praise to God for what He has done for you. What can we render to the Lord? I can walk in the ways of the Lord. I can keep His commandments in my life. What can I render to the Lord? I can take up the cup of salvation and share the knowledge of the gospel with all that I come in contact with, telling people how to be saved. What can I render to the Lord? I can be His servant, keeping my vow, keeping the commitment of giving myself totally over to Him in this life. And as long as I am alive, as long as I have being, praise Him and glorify Him and sing praise to Him and prayer to Him, thanking Him in song and prayer. That is what you and I can render to the Lord for what He has, He is, and He will be doing for us. While we're still alive, praise God. And when you pass from this life, praise God for eternity. On this side, serve God. And when you pass from this life, serve God for eternity. On this side, give yourself as a living sacrifice totally to the glory of God on this side. And when you pass from this side, you glorify God for eternity. Yes. Give all of yourself over to the glorying of God, His kingdom, His gospel, and do the best you can to honor Him and glorify Him in your life. That's what we can render to the Lord. For all He has, is, and will do for us for all eternity. Our God is worthy of your worship. He is worthy of you singing to Him. He is worthy of you praying to Him. He is worthy of you glorifying Him and giving Him all of yourself for all of your life on this side and then for eternity. You see why I call this my psalm? It came to me that I started reading this when I was basically pretty deep in depression. I was just sitting there in my house crying and couldn't get out of the chair crying. And again, I wasn't crying because I was going to die soon and go be with God. I was crying because I was going to have to say goodbye to somebody I love dearly and have to leave them behind. That's why I'm telling y'all, and I'll tell you again, I pretty much can tell you if I have time that when I'm passing from this life and I'm dying, the first thing that's going to be coming out of my lips is, God, forgive me one last time. God, forgive me and have mercy on me, please. And the next thing is going to be, God, watch over my wife and kids. Isn't it going to be the same way with you? Okay. When you have prayers and you see them answered, what do you do? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for answering my prayer. And then realize the big prayers of forgive me and have mercy on me, they're being heard and they're being answered too. And you will find that the tears dry up and the joy of your salvation returns, because you realize the hand of God is with me now, the hand of God is with me always, and the hand of God will be with me for all eternity. And that is where our joy comes from. The joy of our salvation and the joy of realizing God really is with us. Enjoy the hand of God being in your life. And let the joy of your relationship with God fill your heart and your soul. I appreciate your kind attention. I hope you enjoyed my psalm. And again, I say that not that I wrote it, but that of all the psalms, it is the one that is the dearest to me. If there's anybody here this evening who is not a Christian yet, I try to show you in the sermon here this evening that becoming a Christian is the biggest commitment of your life, because you're committing yourself to give yourself as a living sacrifice to God. To try to live a life that is holy, a life that is pleasing to Him, coming out of the world and sanctifying yourself and then giving yourself totally over to Him all of your life. And as you go through your life, you're going to, guess what I'm sorry to say and sorry to say, you're going to mess up. Even though you're trying to give yourself totally over to Him, there's going to be times you mess up, times you don't keep your vow and your relationship with God. What do you do when you mess up? You take it to God in prayer. And again, you pray for forgiveness yet again. And you pray for mercy yet again. And then you get up and you get back in to giving yourself totally over to the glorifying of God in your life. If you're willing to make the commitment of repentance and confess your faith, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the one body for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God already and you realize there's sin between yourself and your God that needs to be dealt with, deal with it. Our God is gracious. He is merciful. He will forgive you. Take the sin to Him, confess it to Him, and turn from it. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to try to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way whatsoever, let us know while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.